This isn't a game.
This isn't a game. I think this is also important for the people that listen to this that understand that this is years and years of experience that go into the comments and the like, because this isn't a game. This isn't Monopoly money. This is what we told Becker. This isn't a game, man. We got to actually make some decisions here and get going today, because we got to feed our families.
Yeah.
We are paying people that have to feed their families.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so sometimes when you present information, you know, that information that we've been collecting for years, you know, and then we're going to expose that information, and then people are going to use it against us.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's exactly why I wanted, like we've talked about doing this, and why I want to do this with you is because I like to surround myself. My whole company is built off everybody in all their spots are people that are better than me in those positions. And so that's why I love working with you, is because you're so knowledgeable. You're so good. 30 years of experience. Like, there's nobody else I'd really want to have these conversations with, because I think that you teach me so much, and I think that everybody else can learn from
you.
But before we get crazy into it, I bought you a little gift for, just working together, the Becker Project. So these are the Ray-Ban Metas. Have you heard of these?
No, man.
These are insane. And I don't really know how to use it. And I'm sure we're going to have to figure it out together. But bro, they record.
No way.
So they record for 4 hours. Yeah, you can open the box, whatever you want to do. They have like 4 hour battery life, and they literally can record. So my thought is like, bro, for all those crazy things you're doing when you're picking holders or in the cat or just building anything, like, you can wear these and we can get a ton of great content from this.
No way.
So let's open them up. Let's check them out. You know, my first thought was, man, I want to get you a little gift for taking care of me.
I mean,
and Becker, this looks silly. Let's go.
Do this. And then I'm on that machine. I mean, we're going. I mean, it could record the fall and everything.
Exactly. Hey. Little backstory, like couple months ago, I sold a design, one of our higher end products, the highest end product I have. It's a management kind of offer for homeowners who really need extra help putting their project together after the design. So we sell them a design, and then we offer them what we call the backyard blueprint, which is a management product, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the goal with that is to really help them do all the things that they need to do to really set up a project for success.
Okay.
You know? And so then that's when, you know, I had you out.
Mm-hmm.
I sold them the design. We did it in June. They contacted me like 5 months later and were like, hey, Derek, we need your help.
I remember you saying,
you know, that. And then that's when I had you out, and I had a couple other contractors out too, but like, just the way that you really take responsibility for a project, and like, you know, just, you put in so much time and effort into this project.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's what I really want to talk about, is how we met with the Beckers the first time to 2 or 3 months later, you know, they just signed for a couple $100,000 to do a project in their backyard. And it's a 10 out of 10 difficulty from you, right?
Right.
It's like one of the hardest projects you could do.
Absolutely.
So that's the second reason why I wanted to buy the glasses.
Okay.
One, you took care of me and them. And there's nobody else I'd rather have do it. And two, we got to make crazy content from this, right?
Yeah, and the content comes really from like the order of operation, like how we'll execute it.
Yeah.
Like when we get going on that job, the very first thing is like, we're unloading the machines and you cut the sod and you move the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like that as a part. And, then you're getting the machines and you create the roads, you know, and then you do some demo. And then and every day you just have that build off until, and you're working your way out of the project. You're taking down the fence to prevent the boulders from tackling the fence.
At the bottom, right? Because it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be really intense.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that first few minutes is when you get over there with the machine, it's going to be like, fuck.
It's go time.
Like, do I really got to get the machine from here to there?
Yeah.
And how are we going to do that?
And
I don't know that there's actually a safe way to do that, but there's certainly a strategic way.
Totally.
You know, there's at least an attempted safe way.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that comes from all your experience of being able to make it happen, right?
Yeah. And I think just actually, No, I mean, it takes a certain person to want to get on a machine and make it, like, do vertical stuff and climb things that they ain't supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've got my guys that have been working 20 years with me that won't get on the machine to do what we're going to go do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, like, they're not doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it takes a little, a certain personality, some knowledge, some experience.
Yeah.
And then, too, like, this is art.
Yeah.
So really what I do it for is, like, the art, right? You have to have those amigos, those machines. I call them amigos because,
yeah,
like, me and my amigos are going to carve out that land.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the machines so I could carve them out with just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, so we're going to go, like, make artwork back there.
Yeah, it is. Dude.
And do it in a way that it's functional and lasting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really important. So drainage,
mm-hmm,
when I look at this project right here, there's not a lot of drainage built into the line items, but you got to do the drainage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it'll wreck the project.
Totally.
You know, so, like,
behind those walls
and
for that turf area, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and the existing drainage comes out behind the basketball court right, mm-hmm, now.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to connect to those and push them out beyond the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, you just got to look at this and go all in.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it.
Start at that back corner, the most dangerous part of the project.
Mm-hmm.
You start there,
mm-hmm,
and then go and work your way back, thinking about low voltage lighting wire, thinking about irrigation, thinking about drainage pipes, thinking about the concrete footers and how it's all going to pass through it.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's a lot to think about.
No, it is. Yeah.
Because if you get finished with something and you forgot to run a sleeve or a pipe through it, and then you can't get irrigation.
Now what?
It's like, what? Well, now what?
Yeah. After moving all those boulders and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something I want to focus on for, like, the first half of this, and then we can really chat about whatever. But the progression of when we first met them,
okay,
and really what our goal was,
okay,
and our goal was to try to serve them and get them really what they wanted, because something I think you do so good is you have a great questionnaire checklist of questions that you ask your homeowners to really understand who they are, what they want, and really what they're willing to invest. And that's something we went through a lot with them, right? Like, the budget changed.
Yeah.
Their budget changed, like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, right. And so, when we first met with them, we actually had no idea what we were building the project for.
Yeah.
Right. They had too small of a budget for this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the picture wasn't making sense because it didn't appear that they were using the grill.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't appear that they were using the space.
Mm-hmm.
But really the reason why, after going through the process and talking to them and asking these questions to you and collaborating with you on, like, what's the purpose of this,
mm-hmm,
we learned that they want to entertain, and that the space from their living space to their outdoor space was too far. And
that's something that we kind of, we knew that, right? Because it's kind of, that one's a little more obvious, that, mm-hmm, like, it's really a disconnected space. Their entrance to the backyard is up on a second story deck, and to get down is kind of a pain right now. And they don't have everything they need down there to stay down there for a long time. And so we kind of knew that. That's why they wanted the bathroom and the, mm-hmm, you know, they did want the kitchen. And then that's when we changed the design to have that large fridge back there, which was, you know, your idea and a brilliant idea, just, like, being able to have more stuff down there. But then it was, like, one of our last meetings where we really understood, okay, they actually, this is really for them, not necessarily for their kids, which they have 3 or 4 kids, and to have that, and it is a place for their kids to come back. But they were talking about, and this I think this was such a key factor to get them to say, okay, let's do this all in, because it is for my best, you know, it's in my best, for my best investment, or it is the best investment of my money to do the whole project. When they started talking about, they love to hang out with their friends. They have a great friend group. Their friends love to host, and they're the only ones that aren't hosting projects because they can't, they don't have the space for it.
Right. They live in an area that having an entertainment space is important to bring the friends over and gather.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the only ones that don't have an updated backyard to actually have an environment to do that in.
Yeah.
And we learned that that's what the reason really why they're actually doing this job is so they can make that environment.
Yeah.
And so that they're also, they went more into having grandbabies and having the babies down there. And, you know, there's a lot of future to this backyard, mm-hmm. right? And so that's, I think, what we discovered was, what's the future look mm-hmm. like in their backyard? That might be a good question to ask somebody, actually, yeah. too, right? Like, how do you see yourself using this yard, mm-hmm. right? And when we learned that, actually, how you see yourself using this yard, entertaining, then that made us make all the necessary
design changes. Kind of one last time.
To fit.
And this was like 2 months in.
Yeah, right. We actually haven't stopped. This is the beauty of taking your time in design phase, because we haven't actually stopped designing this project yet.
Yeah.
We were still designing this project as we left, with the future fire pit and maybe a plant that would block that upper house, right?
Yeah.
And so I think this is how you intimately get involved with your client to learn what they want. Mm-hmm. And when you become a good listener, then you can actually give them what they want, because we took this design from a great starting point, collaborated ideas, got feedback from the client, made the design changes, and continuously updated it throughout the time of research on whether the slab foundation was going to be exposed, research on the handrails being in the window,
yeah.
you know, the feedback, you know. So we do research and modifications to the design, and then the client, you know, gives us the feedback on why they don't want that. And they see certain things that we don't see, such as the handrail being in the middle of the window. Mm-hmm. So then, therefore, let's lower that so that's not a viewpoint deterrent, right?
Totally.
And so, like, all of this feedback gets you to where we are here with these guys,
mm-hmm.
with a really solid design, a really functional design, a really installable design too, guys, because when we're creating these concepts to the client, we're trying to get them to buy the picture so that we get the job, but we actually need to create that picture in an installable way.
Totally. Right?
And so I think that after working for months on the job,
mm-hmm.
That's where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, another reason why, just a small little gift, right? But like, you spent so much time really helping me, because, you know, I do have a good amount of experience in this, and we've designed a lot of projects, but like, they hired me to be really this consultant that was going to get them the product that they wanted and find the right guys to do it. And you spent a ton of time without getting paid. And I think that was a huge thing too, like, that I think is important. Because you do sell designs,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you'll collect a check.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're kind of tied in with you. And then that gives you the time to be able to be intimate with the project.
Right.
And with them, because they committed a little bit to
you. They got some skin in the game.
They committed to me, but they didn't really commit to you.
Oh, that's right.
Right. But you still spent 100 hours.
Mm-hmm. And that's my trust in the industry, like, where my, you know, I've taken where my career and said, okay, where am I going to participate? You mm-hmm. know, and I like you, mm-hmm. right? Since I met you, I liked you, and I liked what you offered, and I liked what you did, and it's something I couldn't do. That's why you interest me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm, even though I can design and I'm a great designer, I still don't do the computer stuff really well.
Yeah.
The pushing the buttons fast and snapping the lines fast. And I get a lot of anxiety pulling those lines together.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's not my forte. You know, I'd rather be on the machine beating the shit out of the ground, mm-hmm. right? Than on.
But you are a great designer.
Yeah, right. And, you know? but the computer helps me get like what I need out there. The only reason for the computer for me is to show the client like possibly what this can look like. I see it in my head.
Yeah.
But they need to see it too.
Oh yeah.
But then also drawing this stuff helps you like really build it too. So there is some advantage. But it's not my it's not the way I am. So I saw the value in you, because like, you could actually do something that mm-hmm. I don't like to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, nice. And that for me, you know, I really enjoy designing, and my team is great at designing. But you're, what I like about working with guys like you is you're such a good designer.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to draw it.
Yeah.
You just need to tell me what to draw.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll draw it for you. And yeah. There's a lot of power in that, though.
Yeah, no, I think this is where we're going to do well together, Dick.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, coming here, you say it well. You already know. By the time I would draw that house, and I couldn't even draw the house perfectly, mm-hmm. but by the time I attempted to draw it as good as I could mm-hmm. and draw the grade as good as I could, I would be so exhausted and done with this project that I would have never got here.
Yeah.
You know, like I can honestly say in the 30 years, I've never designed anything like this to its entirety
mm-hmm.
On a way that, like, when we finish this job, it's going to look like that.
Yeah.
All my really pretty pictures that I have, mm-hmm. they don't have 3D VIP designs.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016 and 18 and 20 and my best work, it wasn't on 3D. I don't know how to replicate actually what I can make on the computer.
Yeah.
You can replicate what we can make on the computer.
Totally.
And that's dope, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, the collaboration and the power is going to come for us. Like, we're going to be able to grow together with each of our assets and values being used mutually
mm-hmm.
to expand both of our businesses.
Yeah. Cause I really enjoy kind of that initial phase with the homeowner, really understanding them, right? I like selling, you know, so I like them to get locked in with me, you know, and also my confidence shoots through the roof when I know that we can actually get this done.
Right.
It's hard to sell if your confidence is really low and you're like, fuck, how am I going to get this done? So, like, you know, for a lot of the other contractors I work with, I understand why it's difficult to sell, because maybe it's your first time working with us. So you're like, man, I don't know really what this design is going to be. Or maybe you aren't really have the capability to do a project like this. That makes it difficult to sell. So for me, that shoots my confidence through the roof of when I go talk to a customer like the one we're doing this huge project for and can be straight up and honest with them, because I know that we can make this happen. You know?
Yeah. And Derek, you know, for all the contractor side world, like, that can't do the designing, they feel the same way. Like, I can build this all day long, guys, but I actually can't get on the computer and spell it all out and get everything line itemed. Mm-hmm. I actually could build it, but I can't do the other part. I can't do the demonstration. I can't do the, like, conceptual design.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, like, your value is to these contractors in a real big way, is that just like, I can bring support to this job and build confidence in that I've got your back to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
You can build value and support to the contractor that I've got your back on this design.
Yeah.
And us as a team mm-hmm. can make your job actually be
like an actual job.
Yeah,
not just for fun.
Do it, right? Yeah. Like, you can actually do what it is that you are going to say that you can do. I've got this. I want to design your job. I'm going to design it perfectly, and then we're going to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of the collaboration of your Haven and the contractor's company, they can do that.
Yeah.
They can actually offer a service that completes the from the start to the end
mm-hmm.
using the collaboration of their company and your company.
Yeah, 100%.
So that support, like, that's what we need in our businesses, is support, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we have the idea, now how do we get it done? And we get it done by having the support, whether it's a phone number to someone that's really knowledgeable in that segment, or whether it's a supplier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of support in these suppliers and vendors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have reps numbers in our phones to call the rep when we have an issue with some sort of component in the job, you know. Because that's really what makes us great, Derek, is, like, not that this job's going to go perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's that when there's a problem, how we handle it
mm-hmm.
and how we manage it,
yeah.
right? And really how we manage the construction part of it. Because one of the last things Becker was really talking about was that, like, hey, what about he asked some great questions. You know, what about the noise, man? Like, are we going to piss the neighbors off at 8?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are. Unless if we agree, like, we can't make noise until 8 or 8:30. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, because the jackhammer is going to be loud and the saw cutting is going to be loud. The steel is going to be loud. You know, those are big yards. Those aren't going to be too bad, but you got to look around too. They may be picky people, right? Mm-hmm. And so how much impact is going to be a problem, or what kind of what the construction side of it, what's going to threaten the neighborhood, what's mm-hmm. going to put pressure on the residents, mm-hmm. and what puts pressure on the residents puts pressure on the landscaper, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do we minimize that?
And well, and also just being honest with them about that, telling them that, because setting expectations, which you do a great job of, there is no BSing around anything. You're just straight to the point, and they have to respect that. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger and I had my landscape company, I was not that way. Not because like I wanted to hide anything, but because I think I was like afraid of like losing the job or like hurting them, or like, you know, I tell them it's going to be done in 2 weeks and then it's done in three. And I'm like, but I just wanted to make them happy, you know?
Yeah, right. And I think, you know, me too, I'm 47 now. And or 46, but I'm going to be 47 here in a week or two, you know.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So real soon, you know.
Let's go.
And let's go, baby. And so what happens is, you know, when I was your age, I did the same thing. Like I could, you know, and I think this makes a lot of point too, to like being, you know, qualified to do this job, you know. People that just start their landscape careers aren't qualified to do this job.
No way.
You get hurt on this job in the beginning. You know, you have to have a couple of these that failed first to be qualified to do this job without any problems.
You know?
So I think that, you know, you build to this type of project, and along the way, you do want to please your clients and you don't say the things that I say now. But the reason we say these things now is because we already experienced this as a problem, and that we wanted to enhance our customers' experience, not continue to dissatisfy them. So building expectations is important, mm-hmm. and being, what's better than being upfront? Then you have nothing to hide. And then too, if the client doesn't like your boldness and being upfront, they cannot hire you, and they can be mad at the person that wasn't upfront with them.
That's
that
true.
Did lie, because even with a helicopter on this project, it'd still make noise.
Yeah.
So how are you getting the material from the street to the backyard, a football field away, with 90 feet of elevation change without making a noise?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not doable, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyone that says that it is isn't actually going to make that project, because another important things is what kind of machine lineup do you have to do this job? Mm-hmm. If you don't have some really big machines and some earth moving equipment, you don't do this kind of work, mm-hmm. right? So we can look at the type of job that we build by the type of equipment we have, mm-hmm. right? And so in this particular case, this is going to take our entire lineup.
Yeah, fun. Which, that's fun. That's why you got it.
This is why we have it all, right? This is what I live for right here.
Yeah.
I actually live for this. My dad actually called me yesterday. I'm going to talk a whole lot, but he called me and he says, how's work? And I said, well, let's go, man. We just sold this one right here for $315. And this job is a big one. It's going to take the whole lineup. And he said, hey, you're not scared of those big ones? And I'm like, no, I live for the big ones, man.
100%.
Like, this is what I built. This is what I actually invested my portfolio to be able to do this project.
Yeah.
You know, and collaborate everybody that I know. Like, there's going to be people on this job that, on the last job that I did of this scale, mm-hmm. As far as grade change, was in 2007. It was the same people doing the job.
Yeah.
So
18 years. Yeah, that's awesome.
It'd be the same faces.
And all of the things that they've learned in the 18 years.
I mean, we're going to kill this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And here's what we're going to do too, is we're going to make it like really easy. Mm-hmm. Right. Because of all the way that we organize it. Mm-hmm. It's the order of operation that's going to make this job actually look easy.
Totally.
And if you gave another company or another installer the same same set of material and the same tools, would it be the same project and would the order of operation be the same?
Yeah.
Right?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? So that's why I think what sets, you know, people apart is how they conduct their business, how they manage it, how they align what's going to happen in it. And I think that you should actually write like a daily scope of work so that you can actually see where you're going to fall, like hold yourself accountable to the days.
No, I love that.
Go right.
I do that every day. I write my to-do list, much different scale, right? But still the same concept. But every day I write a to-do list in my notebook, and that just makes it easier for me to be clear on what I need to do. And then I just, no emotions or thoughts about it. I just go do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's a task driven, right?
Yeah. Like, just like turn the thoughts off and just do these tasks that you need to do.
And that's great. I mean, and I think in the same way on a big scale like this, so this is what I'm potentially looking at, a 90-day project.
Which is insane too, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Like for me, I feel like if I, you know, there's some projects that I'm seeing that are going, you know, like months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that happen?
Because I think people that do multiple projects at one time can't focus on doing just that. And the reason why companies want to do multiple projects is to like make their overhead hit through different job. Like if you have five jobs, your overhead spread out through five jobs, not one. So one job doesn't have to account for all the overhead. And then you can get multiple crews going at multiple jobs. And then there's more potential and available money
mm-hmm.
to make. However, not managed correctly, and we go back to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about how come it takes so long.
Mm.
And the reason why it takes so long is because we've now taken our and spread ourselves thin and not really focused on one thing, and we're not utilizing that money of their job for that particular job, and then we've got to sell more jobs to actually get the money to finish the job, which is then robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
You know, so I think what happens when we don't focus on one job at a time, we get lost in our management, like mm-hmm. our structures, right? Like mm-hmm. the way that we're structuring the business, the way we're importance, like when you start doing multiple jobs, I think the person complaining the most gets the most focus,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so what we've done is now it's hard to do what I do because of the overhead cost. You actually could be very profitable on a job, but because it took 3 months, so let's just say you do a $100,000 job and you're $40,000 profit,
mm-hmm.
but your overhead's $16,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
and it takes you 3 months to do.
There you go.
There's $48,000, there's all your profit. So your actual job can be profitable from a direct cost standpoint, that they're not profitable from a duration standpoint when it goes against your overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, you know, something that from a business perspective, right? And so you can't, you typically can't make your one job accommodate all of the overhead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you have to spread it amongst jobs. But the reason why those jobs take so long is because they're doing...
It's like having multiple businesses, which I learned too.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Only for Elon Musk. You know, very few people, even the top people always say, just focus on one business.
Well, what you're talking about is multitasking, yeah. right? And people don't multitask well. Mm-hmm. If you want to do something well, you can't do a bunch of things at one time.
But you can make so much money just focusing on one thing.
On one thing. So this is what I say, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring all the material here. We're going to outline this project. We're going to write a scope of a daily scope of work for the entire project before we ever start. And then we're going to compare data. I think this is huge on how you build a company and how you manage it to actually know how much profit in what it's going to make and how much it's going to cost by recording your data. How fast can two people put in a yard of river rock, or mm-hmm. one person, right? Mm-hmm. And then how long does it take to take out a square foot of sod? Mm-hmm. And when you do this over and over and over, you get good at the formula of what it takes. So my computer spreadsheet told me it was going to take X amount of hours, mm-hmm. and I divide that by a 10-hour workday, and it tells me how many days.
And I think something interesting about that too is you have a difficulty scale, right?
I do.
That changes it as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, it's a factor, right? Yeah. It's just a factor, that a multiplier. So when you, one is just the way, the easiest, two is medium, and three is hard, right? Mm-hmm. So the harder, it just puts some bigger percentage factor in. Mm-hmm. So that it's cost more.
Yeah. Right?
And yeah, this is a perfect example of that factor. Like, this is a 10 out of 10 on difficulty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the scale only goes to 3, right?
Well, I mean, you know, easy,
no, I get
medium,
you.
Hard. But yeah, it's it does only get to 3, but it certainly is important about the way that you're going to do this. So if you do this in the right order of operation and you focus on it, you can do this in 90 days. Mm-hmm. Because what you can do is your team that's building the bottom landscape can now start on the pool. Mm-hmm. And then when we're doing the pool stuff, we're pouring concrete. When we're pouring concrete, we're getting wood people in. When, you know, and all the contractors were working together while we are, you know, collaborating everything and pulling. I call it merging the phases together. That's what I call it in my company. Mm-hmm. Is I have a fee to merge all the phases together. Mm-hmm. Because when you hire the electrician, he doesn't actually do all the work for what it takes to get the electrical done.
Yeah.
All right. And then and parallel it with where the generator is going to sit and where the concrete's going to be. Mm-hmm. And so to get all those phases merged together, there's a gap between each of the trades. Mm-hmm. And that is an unaccounted portion of money in most companies, right? Is who actually closes the gap between these trades. Mm-hmm. And that's what I call the fee, that the line item that goes merge the phases together.
Yeah.
And so
it's very smart.
And so when you, and that's what we do. So one guy is in charge of merging all the phases together. And that's how you get a look that looks seamless and flows well and doesn't look like multiple designers or multiple trades were there. Mm-hmm. So you can actually build this project with contract labor and still get these results, but you have to have one person in there that's going to merge all the phases together. Mm-hmm. That's going to be responsible for connecting each trade. I think.
And how hard is that to do?
That's hard.
I've been in that spot. You know?
Well, that's hard. First, you have to know how to merge the phases together. So you see when the other person's doing something wrong, mm-hmm. you can correct them. So mm-hmm. the person that's going to be responsible for that has to understand the whole project so that they see when there's something wrong, they can correct their contractor. Mm-hmm. Because the concrete guy doesn't know all the stuff to aesthetically make this project come together. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just caring about their one piece of this segment. Mm-hmm. Each,
which is kind of what we want too.
Yeah, in a way, but then for it to all come together, you got to understand the whole thing. That's why having this design printed on site, mm-hmm. spending a little money to have these things blown up and laminated two or three places, always able to find, when you can look at something and see what we're supposed to be making,
yes.
it helps so much.
I love that.
Back to you, you know, credit to you, Derek, on like, I've never been able to do that for my company.
Yeah.
And our first job was Prudhoff doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got these things blown up everywhere. They're $60, dude. I mean, buy a few of them.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Laminate them, you know what I mean? You know, and then you can actually have your guys, and then there's no discrepancy on what you're supposed to be doing. And as well, when the client sees that, it builds a lot of confidence in that we care.
That's the value equation, right? Perceived likelihood of achievement at the top. If their perceived likelihood of achievement is high, that's a lot of value.
That's a lot of value.
Yeah.
Word with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That was all great. I love that.
You know, so I think we're just talking about basically how this process happened from, you know, where when we started, what it took, like, really to get the right questions asked, to dial into the right design. And that's what we did here, Derek, talking about the perceived value.
That's what I think is something that's really, really interesting to talk about, because something actually you mentioned to me was like, dude, you know, if I didn't have your help, which is, I think it's more about you and just us being a team than really just me. But you're like, if I didn't have your help, I probably would have walked away from this thing, because there was so much time changing. We were really, you know, for them, they were really kind of, we had to help guide them to figure out their budget. They wanted to spend a third at first. And then they said, okay, let's go to, you know, 200. Mm-hmm. And then finally at the end, it was like 300. So maybe we could talk about that.
Yeah. And something that just came to me, Derek, is that's actually what happened, is we worked with them enough to create a design that was going to fit their lifestyle, to actually raise their perceived value, mm-hmm. to then raise their budget, mm-hmm. to then be able to do all of this at one time, right? Okay. Like what we did is we guided them in expert ways to discuss all the things that would be the pros and cons to each of the design choices, mm-hmm. and then realized throughout those conversations of why they're really wanting this space, mm-hmm. and then created the design changes for that, which then they really actually, I think, really started to like what we did, like making the deck around the pool bigger.
Yeah, was the last thing.
I think that raised a lot of value, right? Mm-hmm. By saying, okay, now we have.
He even said it.
Yeah, right.
On our meeting the other day, he said, like, this is amazing. Because this is where he can entertain people.
This is where he can entertain
people. They didn't have that.
They don't have that, right? And we would have that backdrop.
Even with the cool kitchen, with this, mm-hmm. with that, didn't have the main piece.
The patio.
That was the connector.
The patio space, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what just came to me, mm-hmm. is actually when we're looking at that, you know, the perceived likelihood of achievement equals the value is that, look what we did. We actually brought a contractor in that can do it. Mm-hmm. We already have a designer that could design it. Mm-hmm. We created the right space to raise, like, how they created value in their own yard, to mm-hmm. to bring that up enough to where they could see the investment, mm-hmm. see the worthiness of it, mm-hmm. and then they went for it.
And then the bottom half of that is time delay and effort and sacrifice. So that's where I think their budget raised as well, because we have clearly stated to them, like, hey, look, if you guys don't do all of this, it's total, like, I don't want to pressure you to do anything. It's your decision. But if you don't do all of this right now, it's going to be very hard to get those pieces at the bottom that are the most crucial to them. And that's why you really should do it all, because it's going to be more expensive if you don't do it all right now. And you're probably not going to get that really nice, those nice boulder steps, that bottom retaining wall, and that extended patio space to entertain. Because once you do all that top stuff and make it all nice again, how do you even get there?
How do you even get there? It's, I mean, especially in an average yard, I'd say you could. But with the degree of slope from the street to the pool back there, it's so hard with, I mean, you know, you could do it. It would just take a lot of labor.
And it'd be, they'd spend one and a half times.
Yeah, two times the money, because there's no machine work, you know, and that's a lot of material back there, a lot of weight. You know,
so that's the time delay and effort and sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
How much time is it going to take, and how much effort and sacrifice do they need to put in?
And that's the collaboration here, Derek, because, like, for one person, for me as a company, it's overwhelming from the design part. From you as a company, it's overwhelming from the install part, right? But from the together part, what we brought is not putting a lot of time and effort into the client. That's why they called you back after 5 months. If you really think about it, what they realized is that this was going to be next to impossible to actually build out. Mm-hmm. Like, how many people were we going to need to hire?
And you know what? They actually had a builder, which I did a small design for his backyard, and he's the one who actually put me in touch with them. And he gave him a price right off the bat. But, like, he was super busy, and he's probably a great builder. I really don't know. I don't know the guy that much. But the reason I think they called me back was because the way that I had presented the offer is like, I'm your guy, I'm here, which I have been. Mm-hmm. Communication on point, mm-hmm. right? Whatever they need, questions asked, and we're moving always, mm-hmm. right? And, like, again, thankful for you, because, like, you also were a huge piece of that puzzle to make sure we're providing the most value, right? What's their dream outcome? what's their perceived likelihood of achievement? How can we raise those as much as possible? That's their dream outcome, really.
Right.
To entertain at the highest possible level. Mm-hmm. So we finally got there after like 2 months of designing.
And I think that that's what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. That's what actually came to me, is that by the duration of this design, the continuous efforts of working on it, the continuous changes to actually get to what their dream outcome was.
Yeah.
Once we hit their dream outcome, they were actually willing to then—
because I think we hit the other pieces.
Right.
I think they believe in the perceived likelihood of achievement. Uh-huh. They believe in us fully.
Uh-huh, sure.
Right? Like, they know that it could happen from the work that we did, right? Mm-hmm. We broke out some of the concrete to check it, mm-hmm. right? We, you know, just well,
the design phase itself.
The communication. I mean,
you know,
and then really the how much effort are they going to have to put in, and how fast can we get it done? And like, you know, that was... really, I think it's the whole value equation that got them to... Mm-hmm.
But I think the real piece, though, that actually, which, you know, I'm having a lot of insight myself on right now, mm-hmm. is that until we actually got the design to that dream outcome, mm-hmm. I've never really articulated the words like that, but that's really what's happened here, is that we got to their dream outcome. And another thing that by doing that, and how I know that we get to their dream outcome, is because he asked that question, like, what all of this project is going to be finished, right? Like, what's this thing going to actually look like at the end, you know? Because that's his dream out. Like, he's really wanting this. He wants to know, if I invest this much money, is it going to make my dream outcome? Mm-hmm. And when we got to this design, mm-hmm. and we got to this space, it did hit his dream outcome.
Totally.
And then that's when he became really willing to increase his budget and just to do what it took to do the whole job.
100%.
And without getting to the dream outcome, this is where a lot of us fall short, including myself, is that I never would have got to the dream outcome. So I would have not taken him as a serious buyer. Mm-hmm. I would have not taken him as that he was not willing to pay for what he was wanting. But really what it was is that we didn't actually get what he wanted so that he could be willing to pay for it.
100%.
Do you see that?
That's good.
That's good, man.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's what it takes. Doing a $200,000 job, $300,000 job and more is no joke.
There's no joke.
It is, man. That is so much money.
Put you out of business.
It is so much money, right? Like, you can't really even to get, like, sometimes there's clients, I guess, who are like, okay, let's do it, right? Maybe they have money. And that's even a little bit more scary than doing all this stuff we did. Because maybe
far more dangerous. Because they're not sure what they want.
Nobody knows what they want. And then you get into this crazy thing and they've given you $100,000 already and they're just trusting you to understand exactly what's in their mind. So it's not even your fault as a contractor. It's like, you know,
absolutely.
That's so difficult. That's almost more difficult. But like this. This is how to do it proper.
No, I think that's why I've really adhered to you, Derek, and like want to work with you, because like this is the proper way to do it, right? Yeah. Like, I invested my first money into the pro membership here so that I could actually do what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You know, hold the client accountable. You know, really what this artwork is for the client is, for one, so that the contractor knows what to estimate, but really it's to hold the client accountable for what you just said, that if you can't read their mind and they have a different idea of what you're going to give them, they will somehow make you feel responsible for that. And when you do feel responsible for that, then you want to change it for them, and then that costs your company money.
Yeah.
This design actually takes all of that out by saying, well, you know, Mr. Becker, here's the ball, here's the look, you know, this is what we've provided you. You've clearly your time to tell me that it needed to look different was in this phase. Mm. We already have this here. We can take it out, but it's going to cost money. That's a hard conversation to have when there's shame involved into that, or there's if you feel as if like you're responsible for why you didn't understand what they wanted, then you can actually pay for that. But when you do your diligence, as we did here on this design, we get to confidently hold everyone responsible and accountable for any sort of change.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is actually what we're building here. This is what we've accounted for. This is what we've estimated.
Well, it feels good because now everybody knows what to expect. So if there are any changes, there's no blaming.
There's no blaming. There's no shame in it. It's actually here.
Well, talk about that, because we've had that conversation a lot as far as like the shame goes. And I think it's really interesting because we are in an industry where there's a certain type of person really who's a landscaper, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of type of landscapers and a lot of people who are landscapers, but like for the most part, right? And the way that you've explained it, I really like. So what's that experience with?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think personality-wise, takes a certain personality to be a landscaper, right? Not, this isn't a job for everyone. It's hard. You got to work through the elements and the environment. And, you know, you don't have to have a lot of skill as far as the educational side, right? So mm-hmm. we work more
the rather traditional than education.
The traditional education system, right? And so it's just a different personality out here. And I think that as humans don't really spend time to learn who we are. So when we come from a shame-based family, we want to do good for our clients. We want to be recognized. We want to be accepted through the work that we're doing for our client.
Yes.
And when we do this work for the client and they're not happy, we feel that triggers our emotional shame response of like, we didn't do a good job. This is our fault. When it cannot be, you're trying to satisfy maybe somebody that can't be satisfied, or somebody that didn't give you good feedback of what they wanted, wasn't clear. Mm-hmm. Somebody that actually you did what they wanted, but then when you did it, they realized they don't want it and that they're just taking advantage of you. You know, that's exploitation. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that can go on in a landscape when you're looking for your product to bring you happiness and acceptance and good, you know. So then if the client's not happy, this is just a codependent thing, because if the client's not happy, now you're not happy. You were utilizing the landscape to make the client happy. And when the client happy, it said the landscape wasn't no good. Mm-hmm. And that didn't mean the landscape wasn't no good. That just means that you didn't satisfy the client.
Totally.
Which that's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. So the shame comes into this as from, I think in my experience in my own life was, I built a lot of landscapes for people that I was looking for acceptance in, you know. I would literally build a wall that wasn't on the estimate because they wanted a wall there now. And I wanted to be accepted. Well, that was a really expensive way to get accepted.
Yeah.
And then what would happen is the wall would crack. And then now you built a wall for free that later you had to warranty, that later it caused a bad, you know, maybe a bad review, or, you know, just an unhappy customer, when actually the right thing to do is like what we did here is, hey, this is what this cost. If you want this, this is what you have to pay. If you don't, here's what 200 gets you, right? Mm-hmm. And every time we moved project budget around, we didn't get to his dream outcome, right? And that's how come we never could actually get him to commit. Like, this is great. I just, so the insight was like, first just sitting here doing this is brought that to me by us going, okay, this guy actually
did. How do they know you? This is going to be a new question for you. What's your dream out?
Yeah, right. Because really what it is that budget really doesn't matter to at this picture, right?
Yeah.
We're not really talking about a number. What we're talking about is the dream outcome equals a picture. We've painted a picture that equals his dream outcome. And then he's willing.
So right.
To buy that picture, no matter really. I mean, there is a.
When he told me yes, he goes, this is far more than I thought I would spend,
mm-hmm.
but we figured out a way.
We figured out a
because
way.
Because dream outcome.
It's a dream outcome, right? And so going back to the shame is, if you had shame, you would be putting things into this estimate that actually he didn't pay for, mm-hmm. by trying to make him accept your drawing and your estimate and make you feel good. But then you get the check and then it's not enough money to actually do the job.
Yes.
So now you go start somebody else's job, and then now you don't do this in 90 days. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to get a check somewhere else because you actually didn't do that here. Mm-hmm. And then the only way you're going to sell the next job is to do the same shit. Mm-hmm. So how fast that could add up to be a disaster, right?
Oh, it's company ending.
And so, or it's stomach, I mean, or you alter your life with this stuff, right? You don't necessarily end your company giving landscaping away, but you certainly take years off of your life.
Yeah.
You know, your body and stuff, such as I did. You know, I'm guilty of exactly what I'm talking about. That's how I can talk about it.
100%.
You know, and say.
And I think this is great for new guys or guys who have been in it for a little bit, not as long as you, or even the guys who have been along in it as long as you, just to relate to, but to learn from.
Yeah, when we start to work on ourselves and learn who we are, we give less landscapes away.
Yeah.
Right? When we don't look for acceptance outside and we look for it inside, you quit giving steps away. You quit giving outdoor kitchens away. You quit, or you quit manipulating the estimate
to fit the design. Yeah,
that's right. You know, like I really think that that's what a lot of us contractors are guilty of, is to manipulate that estimate to fit that picture.
Yeah.
And look, had we not had that here, Derek, I think even still today in this experience, I think I would have misread this guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is so beautiful because this guy wasn't looking for a cheat, like us to shave our numbers to get to what he needed. He actually was looking for us to get to the design.
Man, it's so really good to think about too, because it's just like, man, that's just, if we're taking, you know, and I understand the shame thing, and I think it's such a good thing to talk about, but then if we kind of switch it a little bit to taking just extreme accountability for us, mm-hmm. maybe the reason why we're not winning the jobs we want is not because we're hitting the right price, it's because we're not doing the work to find what their dream outcome is. Because if you want anything in life, you're going to figure out a way to get it. Right.
Yeah, that's what value is. That's what I told these people the other day on a $6,200 privacy wall, mm-hmm. is they said that was expensive. I said, no, you don't want it bad enough.
Yeah.
This actually isn't expensive.
Yeah.
If you knew the work that went into this and what this was going to take, this isn't expensive, but you don't want this bad enough.
Yeah.
Or this would be cheap, mm-hmm. right? And that's what we're saying.
Totally. You
know?
That's really doing the work to either explain to them what the value is, right? Or understand really what it is they truly want. And that's what I think we did really good.
Yeah, that's what we did do good here. And I think that, you know, where accountability though can only count, like accountability doesn't count people that are shame-based, such as myself. It's hard to hold other people accountable because we're self-blamers.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to blame why. Now, the trueness of what we did here is that we got to the dream outcome. Mm-hmm. And how much are we leaving on the table by not getting to the dream outcome?
Yeah.
But not everyone is like this, Derek. I'm going to tell you, you know, the personality of the client. This is going back to qualifying and cultivating what type of client you're looking for. Some clients actually look to take advantage of people.
Yeah.
Right? And so they could understand what their dream outcome is and be 100% not willing to pay for it. What made us understand he was willing to pay for it is we had the attitude of, we're done here. Mm-hmm. We've exhausted all that we can exhaust into a project without getting some sort of commitment, mm-hmm. right? But that came from the experience and not being in a shame-based environment, mm-hmm. because I even said I would be guilty even as this 30-year career and as much work as I've done on myself, I still may have fallen into the trap of doing this project for a deducted amount, manipulating the estimate to fit the budget because we actually didn't spend the time to get to the dream outcome. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's some gray area or some foggy, like looking through like a foggy Pyrex, so to speak, not being able to see clearly mm-hmm. about what this client wants mm-hmm. and what their real needs are. And if we delivered those needs, would he then be on board? Mm-hmm. And the answer was yes. And that's how we know that he's all in too. He's got equal skin in the game because we didn't manipulate the estimate. We did respect, profit margins for sure. Mm-hmm. However, there's a good value into this job on both ends. And that his skin in the game is that we didn't manipulate this estimate to fit the design, and that he stepped up to the plate as well mm-hmm. by bringing the checkbook to what this design cost.
Totally.
Right.
I think that goes into the next thing I'll talk about, which I love what you said to him too, which is that you know, this 315 in this is going to allow me to do my best work.
Yeah.
Which I love that. Because I think still you're going to go above and beyond and probably do things that really you don't necessarily see in this design, or maybe you're not perfectly outlined in your estimate. And I just love the way that you said that.
Yeah, I think
there's best work out here, which I've seen your projects. So I know what you're talking about when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the absolute attention to detail of this boulder is 10,000 pounds or however. You know, is that accurate?
Yeah.
And like how, you know,
yeah, 5,000.
Do I need to rotate this? Right. Do I need to change this even a little bit to get it right?
Right. And I think that comes from that comment comes from, for me at least, is by being able to look at the whole picture and understand the whole process. That way it allows me to make the necessary changes for functionality, aesthetics, like, you know, drainage purposes, all of those things. When we have a job where I can do my best work, I don't have to see where I'm going to cut corners. Mm-hmm. I can just absolutely go all in. Like, in other words, this is, if we weren't going to do the bottom part, I would never take down the fence.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's still going to be easy to wreck a boulder off and mess the fence up, right? Yeah. But when we know that we're going to do the whole project, the very first thing we do is take down the fence.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean by I can do my best work. It's like there's nothing in my mind that's altering the perfect install.
Mm-hmm.
When you do things in phases, you have these distractions that are saying, you know, hey, look, we got to do this now, but we're not going to do too much of this because this actually isn't in the scope of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where do we leave this pipe? And where, you know, there's a lot of distractions going on.
Totally.
In this project where you say, we're all in and let's go, we get to start with a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And that's how you do your best work.
Yeah. Knowing that in this time, you're going to have the finished product.
Right. And what we're going, like the goal, what's the end goal?
Yeah.
How do we achieve this look? And there's nothing that's in the way.
See, that's what's crazy about landscaping and construction in general is just that the work you're putting in, like you're making decisions every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, like decisions that are really high level and could really alter the project. And it's very mental. And so if you're like, oh, we're only doing a phase, you probably won't do it as good.
Yeah, I don't think, and too, you know, that what we talked about earlier, merging the phases together,
mm-hmm.
when you're only doing a phase, you're not actually merging the previous phase and the next phase together, right? So you're only concerned about that part. So you can't actually do as good.
Yeah.
Because you can't think about something outside of only what you're doing, right?
Exactly.
When you're thinking about all the picture, you can think about all the components simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
When you're only thinking about all a cart stuff in landscape is that you're only thinking about that planter box or only thinking about the swimming pool. That's why the swimming pool texture sprays on the grass and it gets left there, because that was the only thing that was thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the leftover stuff is all over the grass or the plants or whatever, because, mm-hmm. you know, the phases weren't merged together.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, when you can start from start to finish, you don't have any of that,
mm-hmm.
right? You just, the end product is the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
Yeah. I think whenever I understood in my career, when I look back on the jobs, the people that actually decided everything up front from start to finish with no change orders got the best project. Because when you were digging the electrical line and then all of a sudden they wanted a sewer line and it crossed the wrong ditch and that, you know, just, well, when you know everything you're going to do up front, you can organize your ditches.
And you have a clear head.
You have a clear head.
Because again, this is not like easy work. That's, I think sometimes I forget that.
Yeah.
Just design it. I forget, like, man, this, like, it sucks being out there.
For me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that goes back to personality, right? You know, and so, like, it is a difference, you know, when I'm drawing this in on structure, you know, and we're drawing this in, Derek, it's not just do this, right? Like, that's why I brought Becker out to the edge, you remember? And I said, hey, when we get to this point, what do you do now?
Yeah.
Like you say, most people are saying, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
You got to have a different set of balls to take the machine down from here.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Like, you know, as a designer, I think that's perfectly said. Like, this is hard work and we have to respect that. That's why, like, us designers and us contractors can't compare each other, right? Because we each have a different set of hard work, mm-hmm. right? And it's not comparable. You know, you can't compare what you do to somebody else because what he does is hard and what you do is hard, mm-hmm. right? And because I've already told you, I actually can't do that. I actually cannot do what we did here, Derek. Mm-hmm. Like if I had to do this alone, mm-hmm. I couldn't. Now I can see it, but I can push the right button to make it work, right? And then you just said, but going out there, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. It is. You're pounding the sledgehammer in. Dude, it sucks when the head of the sledgehammer breaks and hits you on the toe.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, dude, that'd make you cry, man. Yeah. You know, like, hey, another really shitty feeling here is, I mean, and it might happen. You know, this is what's going to be super cool about this is like, you know, I've worked out my shame and I'm not codependent and I know that I'm worthy and I don't need the acceptance of this job to make me feel that way. We might fuck up and lose our machine yeah. back there. But I think it's going to be cool.
I have the fucking glasses on.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be bad, man.
You know, have those ravens.
I'm going to have them on, my man. You know, every job in here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and so really what this is about with that comment said like that is like, hey, look.
Shit happens.
It shit happens, man. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to make the best of it. We're going to communicate with our client. Mm-hmm. We're going to support them. We're going to be there. We're going to be there the whole way, no matter if it's good or bad. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what they're going to look us and smile about and be on our side about is, hey, you know, man, we're just human too. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the best we can. And we're here every morning and we want you to know we're doing the best we can. 100%. And we're not going to prove that. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like that and accept that, then that's on you, mm-hmm. right? But that's what we are. And that's how we build these projects. And we're not going to mind any sort of negative feedback that we get.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to actually receive that and try to accommodate their needs, mm-hmm. you know, so that they don't have that idea, mm-hmm. right? And then and up until the point to where it interferes with our space, right? And when it interferes with our needs and our space, then we can maturely talk about that and decide from there,
yeah.
right? And, you know, so that's all a boundary is a space that you're unwilling to let get invaded, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's what we're doing here is throughout this project, we're going to be testing each other's boundaries with noises and vibration windows and gas lines broke and mm-hmm. water going everywhere and dust. And, you know, I think it's cool when you finish a project like this and you get the two houses next door to use windows done.
Yeah.
You know, you get them a bottle of wine and some window cleaning.
Yeah.
And then they're happy, right? Because all your dust has been on their windows yeah. for 3 months.
And they probably haven't got them cleaned in a long time either. So
it's a good little
partridge
gift, you know.
I so, like that.
You know, there's ways to actually irritate somebody mm-hmm. and not be miserable about it, right? Mm-hmm. There's ways to actually have to do your job, communicate effectively, and it be okay, mm-hmm. right? Right. Like that is the way, actually.
Otherwise, you live a miserable ass life.
Yeah. Just tell the people, you know, hey, look, we're going to make noise today. I know it's going to bother you. Like, hey, you think it bothers you? Shit, it bothers me. I'm the one on the machine. Like,
I'm in the noise.
It totally sucks. Yeah. I get it. But we're going to do it for a little bit. And then we're going to give it some time and everything's going to be okay. We just want to let you know.
Yeah.
We want to let you know that we care about how you feel about this noise.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
You know,
because that's going to. Especially when you're doing big projects and you don't want to run into time loss issues because of neighbors or things like that. Like just being able to get good through that is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it sets the tone for, like I said, when you're doing these big projects and the client is upset or has come to you and needs something, you know, I think you try to accommodate those needs and you communicate effectively and you just be open and honest and you let everyone have to hold their own space appropriately, mm-hmm. right? Like you can hold your space and do the best that you can. Meanwhile, they have to do the same. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes good. So
that's exciting, man. 3 months.
Yeah. And really what I'd like to do is, you know, I actually think I can build this a little faster. So we're going to do the days counting down. I'm excited to have you on the support of like the social media aspect.
Yeah.
Like I can't wait to, you know, actually collaborate our drone footage and, you know, when I get back there and I'll stage the drone just to sit in one spot for 30 minutes and catch the movement of the excavator swinging. And
what we need to do is start you on Instagram.
Yeah, maybe so.
Everything I post, because you can invite a collaborator. So everything I post, it'll say Your Haven and Immaculate Outdoor.
Yeah.
And then you can have all the stuff too that you can post as much as you want. But that way you don't have to do any work. You just click yes. So by the end of this project, hopefully there's like 50 videos that just show your work, your process, you with the glasses on, filming you, and you'll just have a bunch of shit. So that'll be job number one.
Yeah. I think that aspect of my career is like, I'm ready for that. I've got a lot of footage, a lot of time collecting and recording data and pictures. And so, you know, I think in angles, like knowing which, like how to record and what angle and how the sun is and, you know, and so all of these things put together, I'm really excited for that part of it, you know. Like on the Instagram part and the website, like I want to, I'm inviting a part on the website where it's actually our current job. And so I'm going to have the current job live on the website, right? Day by day updates of what we're currently doing. Getting out there. And
That's the great thing about Instagram, dude. And Instagram stories is that's what it is. Right.
Yeah. So that's
perfect. That's live.
Yeah. That's
every awesome. Day.
Every day.
Yeah. Every day, just stories. And that, I think that'd be huge for you. Just, because that's something I do like. When I first met you, you said, you actually can't get my phone number unless I did a project for you. And then you gave my number to your friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, which is really cool. But also, I think it's also cool to start posting your stuff and then people see it and they're like, wow, this is crazy. This guy's legit.
Yeah, it's 2025,
you know? Andre. Actually, you know what? I sold a design the other day to this lady, Shireen, and her project's going to be awesome. We're actually doing two. One in Dripping Springs and one right here, East Austin, on Navasota. And she's building like a wellness retreat. She said, you know, we started talking about budget. And she's like, well, first I was thinking 150. I said, Shireen, you can't do anything back here for that. Like, and she's like, okay, well, what would you say? I was like, you're going to spend $500,000, you know? And she's like, all right, let's do it, you know, which is good. So now we have that understanding.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to design something that's $1 million. Anyways, she asked for your number, or I was telling her about you, and she has this project in Dripping Springs where she needs some help. So I sent her your number and your name, and it says Immaculate Outdoor on it. And then she looked up your website and she's like, I think he has a typo on his phone number. Because it says 521.
Yeah.
So she's like, he's really probably missing out on leads. I said, trust me, I think he knows too.
I'm not really concerned with it.
I know. That's crazy.
But I will be. But what we're in the process of is a new website.
Yeah.
And so, I've been working months on it. It's almost ready to launch. Got a lot of cool AI features, a lot of cool automated stuff.
Good. All your pictures on there?
It's all going to be on there. Good. And it's going to be really dope.
Because that's what you need. Just show those pictures off. Oh, my gosh. Some of this work is insane.
Yeah, I think that's coming. But, you know, I think what happens is a guy taught me, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 years old. He said, hey, Josh, your business fails as fast as it grows. So when you grow something, if you grow something in a year, it can fail in a year. Mm-hmm. If you grow something in 10 years, it takes 10 years to fail. Mm-hmm. And I see that 30 years later to be true. And what I didn't want to do is go get into something faster than I could actually handle it.
Yeah.
And so now we're ready to handle it. Like, we're going to handle the Instagram. We're going to handle the hype, but we can't do the work. One thing that I've not learned how to do is scale me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to scale myself.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to be able to still maintain one job at a time. Mm-hmm. I still have to be able to mark the line, because when I don't mark the line, the picture doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
Like that's what that, you know, this is what we were talking about earlier, is how hard is it to get the guy that can merge all the faces together? Mm-hmm. Right. That's what you experience.
Well, here's the thing is that's just different. about you is like, you know, you're a real landscaper, you're a real builder. And there's other guys out there too who have learned how to scale it a little bit. But I think there's a lot of guys who will disagree with what you said. And there's a lot of guys who will agree with what you said of like, you know, I don't know how to scale me, and you can't really scale you, and you can't. But people have built businesses who are the best at what they do and figured out a way to scale it. But there is a point too where it's like, what is it that you really want? What are your goals? Because if your goal is to go build a $20 million company, if you put your head down and do that, you could probably do that. But if your goal is to create like the best landscapes, make good money from that, build your design center, you don't need to be scaled to...
I mean, we could talk about this project in itself on scalability, right? Mm-hmm. So when we first came in, if we looked at version one, does version one look like this?
No, yeah.
You know, and so if you had a scalable Josh, does this version five look like this without Josh in it?
Yeah.
Right. Fine. So I think Picasso is going to agree with me on this statement is, you know, scaling Picasso is not achievable.
Yeah.
Right. If it were, then Picasso would have scaled a bunch of Picassos.
That's true.
Right. But you can't, this artwork is not scalable in a way that like, your mind thinks different. Like, you're a great designer, right? Mm-hmm. I look at you as a great designer. I look at me as a great designer. We together designed this at some point, right? I designed a portion of it, and then when I got it back, those steps were in, right? Like, holy shit, dude, that's a fantastic idea. I didn't design that, right? Mm-hmm. So how, you know, each of our collaborations and each of our efforts made that concept. If you didn't have all of our collaborations together, it would not look like that. Mm-hmm. So it makes it hard to scale, because when you take me out of this picture, it doesn't look like that, right? Mm-hmm. And this picture was his dream outcome combined together. You know, so the part that I say that I haven't figured out how to scale is actually that creativity part, right? Like, I think my slogan is creating something from nothing, right? I mean, that's what I do, right? That's what we do. 100%. We create something from nothing.
Yeah.
And you can create something from nothing, and you can put the boulder there. You can get a million people to put that boulder there. Mm-hmm. But what we talked about in the beginning of this just a minute ago is that turn. What makes that touch, that immaculate touch, right? What makes this pleasing to the eye, right? What makes this soft and attractive? All these details. Mm-hmm. And those details are not scalable.
Yeah. Right? No, you're right. 100%.
And if they were, then you would have 10 of me to choose from.
Yeah. And I don't want to knock anybody else, but
No, I'm saying that. I'm just saying, like, here, like, that's what this is, what we do is artwork. If you want this particular style of artwork, then I'm your guy, right?
That's why I like it. So what do you have goals this year? Is a goal this year that you want to hit?
As far as
it could be revenue, but it could also be like just whatever goals are.
Yeah,
you have to be.
Yeah. My goals are not materialistic driven. My goal is to do what I want to do every day for 365 days this year.
Yeah,
exactly what I want to do from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed.
Well, I'm glad you're
That's
here.
My goal.
I mean, you want to be.
That means I want to be. I actually don't do shit I don't want to do.
I love it.
You know, so I'm actually in love with what I'm doing here today.
Yeah,
you know, I wouldn't rather be nowhere else.
Well, me too. Know? And I wanted, you know, like we said, we don't have to put a number on this. I think like doing this as much as possible would be amazing, because I think there's so much value in this conversation, you know, how to do it as much as possible.
Yeah.
I don't want to really, I started doing this, like interviewing people, because I wanted to give people a platform to kind of share their story. I still think that's a possibility, but like, I like this so much more, you know, this is.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. I like this too. You know, I think there's a lot. I mean, going back to my goals outside of like that, I would say that's a goal for myself, like to do like what, to not live compulsive, but a goal for like my business Definitely working on the design center daily is a big goal. And honestly, growing our relationship is a big goal of mine.
Yeah. You
know, like, I see a lot of value in what we're doing here and the collaboration and the technology side of what you can bring, and then the confidence and the strength I bring to the field, you know, where I feel like that the clients that are really looking for landscapes that are investments to enhance their lifestyle, to give them their dream outcome.
Yeah.
This is the combination, right?
Finally.
I feel there's work for everyone. There's a place for everyone. There is no ugly plant. There is no ugly landscape. There's just different plants, different landscapes, right? And so, you know, but for me and for my goals is actually my dream outcome is this. I've been working 30 years to get to these type jobs, and to do them with confidence, and to do know that I can do them, and I have the resources to do them. And so, for where I want to move forward with is more opportunity in this type of environment.
Yeah.
And I see a great opportunity with you, you know, our collaboration of really getting, because really, I think really why we're sitting here today, Derek, is because the two of us were willing to collaborate together to actually get them the dream outcome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that?
Like, well, I think we're very similar in a lot of ways. I think through the opportunity to build badass shit and do awesome projects, like if that's what you love doing, that's what I want to do. I want to build all these. And, you know, I built an amazing relationship with a guy in my past businesses named Jorge. I love him to death. Me and his relationship is similar to me and yours. And I just see like so much opportunity for us to like really go do all that on a whole nother level though too.
Yeah. And this opportunity for us is that like available for their other people as well, right? Like there's other people out there that are in our situation where, you know, somebody's really talented in the field and somebody's really talented in the computer.
Yeah.
And can you collaborate both of your business concepts together to almost create another business? You know what I mean? Cause like you still have your business going.
Yeah.
I still have my business going.
Yeah.
And then now we have like this other thing going, right?
Totally. And I see that, and that's what I like about it too, is that it's and we were just talking about, right, like maintaining good focus, and like that's a conversation we've had too, right? Like, is this the right fit for us and what we want to do? And like I want my main business to be, you know, the designing, the pro membership, helping contractors design, providing them the visuals, helping them win jobs. But like this is a little bit of a tie of that, where we still have homeowners who reach out to us and want great designs. If you're a homeowner, like this is what you get, you know,
right,
next
right.
level.
This, yeah.
And we don't do 10 jobs. I like that. Just the one, you know, on my website, it says for the backyard blueprint, you know, we it's really like two a year, three a year type of thing, you know? And,
yeah, because you can't service more people than that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like you can't actually be intimately involved, and this goes back to scalable, right? Like you can't be intimate. You can't know what questions to, like you're not available to ask those questions. You need to go back in that backyard to see where they look, how they respond, which way they go, how, you know, all kinds of things.
Dude, this is one of my first times. I did it maybe a couple other times, but first times just designing in the backyard.
Right. And so, and it's beautiful, right? And it's
awesome.
It's awesome, right? And so, but you can't do that on a large scale. So I think this is why you can only do two or three or four or five of these a year.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's
and a process. Together we might be able to do more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or just, I mean, I think this is the part for me is this is fun, right? This is challenging. It takes an arsenal of equipment. It takes an arsenal of experience, and it takes some balls, you know, like, and so, I'm going to be back in that backyard fucking singing Kodak Black. I've been every day since for about a week now, I've been like thinking how I'm going to do this.
Dreaming about it.
And I come up with a plan, you know, a little more detailed plan each time, you know, for on how to execute this. So I'm excited about actually getting in there and making this happen and utilizing my resources like at the shop, you know, having the dirt available and all the stuff that we're going to need that comes from the shop is going to be phenomenal for this place, and get to utilize my dirt, you know, really get to use the resources I have to make this come, to actually make it the likelihood of achievement.
Yeah.
Right. But how are we going to really do this? You know?
Yeah. You're the man.
All right, my man.
See you next week.
Yeah.
Let me send it. Let's go.
All right, let's go, baby.